His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. Today we got episode 150. I'm so psyched that you're with me for the ride. Today we got an awesome episode with a cool dude, Bill Cody. He's a filmmaker, and now he is also producer of the Chris Kirkwood podcast. If you're not aware of the Chris Kirkwood podcast, fix that right now. Go on Google and Google it. The Chris Kirkwood podcast is hosted by Chris Kirkwood of the Meat Puppets. The guy is a super talented bass player for the Meat Puppets for the past 30-plus years. These guys are truly one of America's most original independent bands. They've changed their sound throughout the years while still remaining true to their original intent. And yes, the podcast is great. Obviously, if you're around in the music business for over 30 years, you're going to have some amazing stories. And that's what makes a podcast great. You know, having interesting stories, having interesting guests. And that's another thing that the Chris Kirkwood podcast excels at. So I would highly recommend it. He's had awesome guests like Bob Forrest, who you know from Celebrity Rehab. He's had Mike Watt from the Minutemen and Firehose and a whole bunch of other things. That was a great episode. If you're any kind of a fan of the bass guitar, check out the double episode with Mike Watt on the Chris Kirkwood podcast. It's pretty much a clinic on bass playing and a whole bunch of cool stories. Chris Kirkwood is an amazing host. You know, he doesn't have to try too hard. He has just this charisma that oozes out of him. And Bill Cody is along for the ride. And Bill's got his own awesome story. He's a filmmaker, started out in the 80s, had a really influential documentary about the whole Athens, Georgia scene called Athens, Georgia Inside Out. If you want to learn about REM, B-52s, Pylon, Barbecue Killers, all sorts of cool bands, I would certainly recommend it. I know it's up on Amazon. You can just do the rent thing. I think it's $3 to rent it. And you will learn a lot. It's like taking a class on the Athens, Georgia scene. And yeah, that's one of the coolest scenes of the 80s. It's up there with the Seattle scene, with the hardcore LA scene. Athens definitely had its own thing going on. And it was just a matter of years before the thing exploded with REM, of course. So, yeah, Bill's a great guest. I couldn't ask for a nicer guy to have on my 150th. And, yeah, 150 episodes. Who would have thought it? I started this thing just on a whim, talking into my laptop in 2011. And, you know, we built the thing, and it's only because of the listeners. It's only because you guys told a friend. We're not buying billboards. We're not buying ad space in magazines. We're not buying commercials on television. All that stuff seems to be the old guard. The new guard is you spreading the word via social media. It's as easy as a click of a button nowadays, even on your phone. So if you want to tip your cap to my show, in almost 5 years we've been doing it, 150 episodes, totally free for you, the listener, why don't you just push share on Facebook or retweet one of the tweets or like an Instagram picture. It's just showing you that you enjoy what you're listening to. And, you know, the more that you show that you like one episode, we'll try to get more guests that cater to that thing. We've had a wide range of guests. We've had musicians. We've had producers. We've had people behind the scenes in the music industry. I'm not looking for the rock star exactly. I'm looking for somebody with an interesting tale about their 20-plus years in the music business. And, so we've had some awesome guests. Just want to thank Chris Conley for having our most downloaded episode of the year. And Kevin Wood from Malfunction, Norman Blake from Teenage Fan Club, Tad Doyle from Tad. I mean, the list goes on. And hopefully we are now moving databases. For the past 4.5 years, I've been shackled by a company called Podbean. And while I thank them for the support over the years, it just seems like talking to my friends that are true podcast enthusiasts, that Podbean is once again the old guard, and the new guard will be just putting it up on andydare.com and hoping that that feed eventually gets picked up by iTunes. We have submitted it. We're just waiting to get the approval. But from now on, all you got to do is go to andydarer.com. That's HQ. That's got the podcast. That's got the articles from Chicago. It's an empty lighthouse. That's got my Tape Tuesday entries. That's got Jay Pork's experience. That's got Tyler Kale's stuff. That's got the Honeycomb magazine. Obviously, I got my iron in a whole bunch of different fires. And just want to thank you guys for supporting it. And once again, if you want to spread the word, just tell a friend. That's all we got in 2015. And yeah, we'll be right back. I'll read my latest article published by Chicagoist after this.
Yo, what goes on, people? Jay Pooks here. Just reminding you to keep it locked to the Deer Network throughout 2015, where you can get the Tyler Kale Show, the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Pooks Experience, or the Andy Deer Show. Keep it locked to andydeer.com. 2015, big things coming.
And we are back. Yes, for the past couple weeks, I've been doing a trial writing for the website Chicagoist.com. Yes, a reputable music writing, a whole bunch of good pop culture stuff over there, Chicagoist.com. Want to thank Jim, a.k.a. Tank Boy, for the opportunity. And yeah, they published my Neil Young and Promise of the Real, their new album, The Monsanto Years. And just last night, they published my little article about 11th Dream Day, which is a really cool Chicago band. They got a new album out, Works for Tomorrow. And yeah, they're a great band. And here is my article as published in Chicagoist.com on July 22nd, 2015. It's called 11th Dream Day Returns to Their Roots on New LP. Chicago-based 11th Dream Day has been mining the same simple and noisy blueprint since their inception in the mid-80s, when they were too noisy for college rock and too laid-back for the hardcore scene. Not much has changed in the intervening 30 years. After hiatus in the mid-90s, the band began to absorb some of the influences of post-rock, while bassist Doug McCombs was busy creating Tortoise's milestone, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. Fast forward to 2015 and the band has returned to their garage rock roots on their forthcoming Works for Tomorrow. Their highly discussed Neil Young influenced sound has been replaced by a jittery krautrock vibe, slowly growing momentum and steam as the tracks progress. I'm gonna take it slow, Janet Beveridge Bean growls on the album opener Vanishing Point as the song dissolves into a freakout which wouldn't have sounded out of place on the iconic 80s independent label Homestead. Rick Rizzo and Bean trade lead vocal duties but maintain the same intensity, creating a throwback, nearly punk feel. Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon often did this, but never came together in perfect unison like Rizzo and Bean. There is a palpable chemistry between the two that nails the unsexy partnership of a real breathing relationship. All right, that's just an excerpt. If you want to read the whole thing, go to Chicagoist.com. There will also be a link up at AndyDare.com. And yes, just want to thank Chicagoist. Hopefully we can keep this going. I will still be writing for Empty Lighthouse, but yeah, would love to be part of the Chicagoist team. So give them a like on Facebook and check it out, Chicagoist.com. All right, so that about does it for my spiel this week. Want to thank everybody for supporting the show throughout 150 episodes. It's been a long, wild trip, but I'm glad you're along for the ride with me. And yes, thanks to the sponsors. Thanks to the guests. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to people who spread the word on social media. Most importantly, thank you. And without further ado, my episode 150 interview with Bill Cody. Everybody, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show today. It is episode 150, and I am joined all the way from the West Coast, Bill Cody. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And yeah, Bill is known as the producer for the Chris Kirkwood podcast. You've been doing that a couple months now. How many episodes in are we now?
We're 10 episodes in.
Nice.
So We've been kind of all over the map. Some of our shows have got tons of people listening to them. Others have good amount of people, but we're trying to get the word out because some of our favorite episodes are like with Wayne Kramer, have been some of the lesser listened to. And if you do come to our podcast, which I hope you do, the Chris Kirkwood podcast, no H, Chris, C-R-I-S, check out the Wayne Kramer episode. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's a great one. And yeah, you're 10 episodes deep. Chris, he's known as being the bassist for the Meat Puppets, one of my favorite bands, going strong. Just, I think, over 30 years now. When did they form, 81?
I think they formed in 80 or 81. And their first record, I think, came out like in 81. And then they had kind of a they had the single, then they had the first album, and then for a lot of reasons, 84 was when the legendary Meat Puppets 2 came out, but I think they recorded it in like 82.
Really? Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And if people don't know that first Meat Puppets album, it doesn't share pretty much any likeness to the rest of the catalog. It's pretty much hardcore. It's pretty punk, and it's obviously SST, Spot recorded that thing. And then 2 years later, 1984, did a complete about face, and we're experimenting with Americana, with psychedelic, with country sounds, and that kind of opened up a whole new a level for them to play on, kind of, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the great thing about the Meat Puppets. If you haven't, you know, looked into their back catalog, I think a lot of people know them from, you know, playing on Nirvana Unplugged, and of course their big hit Backwater from the 90s. So there's probably some people, I notice sometimes they get lumped in with punk and sometimes they get lumped in with 90s alternative.
Sure, yeah.
And which is interesting because they're the same band and,
But they don't share any, they're not common with any of those 90s alt bands like the Smashing Pumpkins or Nirvana, really. I mean, they don't really have that much, common things with those bands, and they don't have much common with the Black Flags, the Circle Jerks, all sorts of stuff like that, just except for the way that they've kind of had an open mentality to just try anything once, see what sticks, and not really answer to any corporate record labels or, you know, trying to be the taste of the week. That's what makes them kind of punk and alt rock, I'd say.
Well, you know, the funny thing is about all those SST bands, and I don't know if I'm answering all the right questions because I guess we're supposed to talk about the podcast, but I'm just going to say this. What to me is interesting about the SST bands is that all of them, to me, are what really, you know, 80s punk rock or whatever you want to call it, was all about, and that they started one place and then explored other things and were open to other things. And, you know, Husker Du got slammed early on they were one of the first of them to go major label. And then they got accused of like, sure, oh, you're a bunch of now you're suddenly REM wannabes because they started, you know, writing 3-minute, like brilliant pop songs, which were kind of ahead of their time. But, they got called out. The Meat Puppets got called out for exploring certain things. The Minutemen a little bit less so, but, you know, had Dennis not passed away, I think you could see where they were going. I mean, they were going to do a record, which is sadly didn't get made, of using Richard Meltzer's lyrics and heading towards, you know, I mean, the reason they wanted to do something with Richard Meltzer is because they loved Blue Oyster Cult so much.
Sure, yeah.
But you started to see, like, you know, in Dee's playing and Mike's playing, this kind of, like, you know, jazz, funk kind of thing coming out. And, you know, I think they were about 1 year away from the punk kids, like, being upset with them.
Sure. I think it's a natural thing of human nature to not want to stay in the same place, not want to keep playing Nickels on the Dime forever, and kind of want to reach for a mass audience. I mean, a lot of bands, they hit that mass audience. They didn't have to change their sound too much. I mean, Sonic Youth, were a major label band. They were tastemakers for David Geffen in the early 90s. Did they really have a ballad that was a hit or anything like that? Not so much.
Well, Sonic Youth is a funny one to me, and I admire the heck out of them, and I like a lot of their music, but I always found it odd that that they were the one that the critics never, ever turned on.
Sure.
Because in many ways, Sonic Youth, if you listen to their first records and their last records, like, out of all of those bands, they didn't move very far.
You're right, yeah. In 30-plus years. Like, yeah.
In 30-plus years, you know. And, you know, one of the things I admire most about them is that, you know, and coming back to the podcast, I think it's one of the great things about what we're trying to do now is, you know, trying to open up. I mean, Chris has always been an artist, and, you know, he's always been, you know, very loquacious, and he's a very, very smart guy. He's extremely funny, and that's why I kind of, like, joined forces with him on this. But in some ways, a lot of these bands and the Meat Puppets are somewhat have been guilty of this, have not, like, explored, you know, different income streams, and Sonic Youth were kind of the forebears of, like, look, you know, we can publish books of poetry, and we can, you know, get involved in art, and we can do, you know, and I don't know exactly, I'm not looking at their books or anything, but it's like they found ways to make money, and it's kind of what's going on in all of music right now. It's like if you don't figure out how to get these other income streams, because there's no money in records these days. And, you know, you got to tour, but, you know, you all got to, like, sell T-shirts, and you got to, like, do some other things. And I think what's wonderful about this for Chris doing his podcast, which is what I'm supposed to talk about, right, is it gives him an opportunity to not just be the bass player in the Meat Puppets, which – being a bass player in a Meat Puppets is a pretty cool thing, and it's certainly helped us get guests. But, you know, it's like Chris is so much more than that.
It should open up doors, is what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and I think as we go forward, I think you're going to see even more of what Chris is all about. I mean, I've been working very hard to kind of curate different things to, you know, we just did one with Rob Wasserman, and again, it's probably, you know, music fans know who Rob Wasserman is, but the general public doesn't really probably know exactly who he is. And this is a man who's played with pretty much half of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but more importantly, was Lou Reed's bass player for the last, you know, 25 years, starting with New York, and also has a band with Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
I thought that was tons of range, too, going from Lou Reed to Bob Weir. I mean, they're...
own albums, which are straight-up jazz, you know?
And that was also good timing on you guys, because the big Grateful Dead, you know, final shows in Chicago this week, you posted that at the same time. And I think that was a nice pairing. Yeah, as you were saying, though, there's no money in making music anymore. There's money in touring, but there's so much other things out there. I recently had a guest on my show, Martin Atkins, which he played in, like, Killing Joke, Ministry, Pigface, all these industrial bands, PIL and stuff like that. But now he's teaching about the art of touring. And he's making a good living off of teaching classes about the art of touring in downtown Chicago. Simple stuff.
Yeah, he's from Chicago, right?
Well, I mean, originally I think he's England, but yeah, he's been.
Oh, is he from England? Yeah, somehow I did know that. You know, what's interesting? Ministry, right? I don't know. Do you know the history of Ministry?
I sure do. Chris Conley's a buddy of mine too. So.
The original thing was kind of Al Jorgensen's original Ministry merged with a band from Seattle. It's one of my favorite Seattle bands called the Blackouts that had Billy Rifflin and,
nice.
And then, what's his name? The guy that was the other main guy
in
Ministry, Paul Barker and Billy Rifflin and two other guys were in this band called the Blackouts who were way ahead of their time and pretty much, There's two groups in Seattle. There's a bunch of people who left Seattle because that's what everybody used to do, including those guys who became half of Ministry. Of course, Duff McKagan, who now lives back in Seattle, but, you know, came down here. And, you know, and then there was this group that stayed and
embraced,
you know, but
the
they
grunge.
All know each
yeah.
other.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And the weird thing is that I gotta put my hats off to, and obviously, you know, in a weird way, the Meat Puppets are considered the godfathers of grunge. Later they tried to claim it was, you know, Neil Young, but, you know, I'm from Seattle and every jukebox in Seattle had Meat Puppets 2 and Up on the Sun on it. It was like, nice. I think it was a city ordinance at one nice. Point. But, you know, like anytime you went in a rock club, you know, that for sure Meat Puppets 2 was on it. And often Up on the Sun as well. And, you know, there's lots of people quoted of how influential they were to Soundgarden and Nirvana. I mean, I always love, like, they'll have these interviews, like, not interviews, but you after, you know, Kurt Cobain died, there was these kind of, like, reimagining, and they'd pull quotes out of context of, like, oh, he was influenced by the Gun Club, he was influenced by this, he was influenced by that. And it's like, he did mention a lot of these bands over the years, and one of the great things about Kurt Cobain was that he actually did try and get people to pay attention to bands that he loved, and he loved many. But if you look at the setup of the band and simply the fact that he didn't bring those bands out on Unplugged, he brought the Meat Puppets out. So you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's weird about certain people's revisionism, and seeing as the band's not alive, you know, you can make up all kinds of stuff.
You can pretty
stuff,
much
I
say
guess.
That he said anything, and no one's
going to... Yeah, Kurt really thought this, you know? It's like, you know...
Yeah, I love how MTV really hated the fact that he wanted the Meat Puppets. They were wishing for Elaine Staley or an Eddie Vedder, and they got the Meat Puppets, but that was Kurt's wishes, and Kurt wasn't one to bend to the will of, you know, the Goliath of MTV at the time. I like that.
Well, what's interesting, and it's helped us with our podcast starting out, but... You know, they just had that Nirvana, the Kurt Cobain movie at Sundance, and, you know, his daughter and the director picked the Meat Puppets for the closing party.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, like, now, I've only kind of heard rumors, but it was kind of like when they were getting their meals at the club and everything, that people were kind of like, ah, you got to move out of the way. Tobey Maguire's coming in.
Nice.
And... You know, going in, Iggy, there was like, it's one of the movies had Iggy Azalea at their after party, and those were all the things you read. And then when, you know, they played and Jack Black jumped up on stage with them and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, like, all the articles were about the Meat Puppets playing, and it got great, you know. So, of course, you know, it's, once again, it's always kind of the same with the Pups. They, you know, they're everybody like, okay, you want to stand out in the alley, and then when the party happens and it becomes legendary, then they're at the center of it.
Yeah, then back in the alley again. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then go back in the alley. You know, it's like
nice.
You know? But you know, it is what it is. But you know, it was funny because you know the daughter was that was one of her requests. She wanted to meet Puppets, like father, like daughter. So
that's beautiful. And yeah, we'll get more into it after this break. We'll be right back with Bill Cody. I'm going to bring up my awesome sponsors. Be right back after this. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luau's, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia. a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. All right, we are back with Bill Cody. Just talking about the Chris Kirkwood podcast. And who do we got lined up for the next coming weeks?
Well, we have some exciting things coming up. We just recorded something with Tenacious D.
Oh, wow.
So that was really great. And we're gonna that's probably going to come out about August 1st. We just got a sponsor, which I'm going to mention, even though we're in the finalization of things, but I think it's all working out just fine. We're sponsored by Wellspring Collective. I hope that's okay to say.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they've been really wonderful for us. And we're, you know, and if there's any other sponsors out there, we're looking for other sponsors too. But they've been really great to us. And then we did Leave Vain.
Of Fear.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he's like, we end that show with 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's actually breaking news on our show.
Oh.
I can't tell you what it is, but he's breaking news on the show. Something exciting for some people, I don't know, but there's definitely going to be interest in some of the things he says. And of course, he has great stories about, you know, when they played Saturday Night Live and the legendary show that Saturday Night Live will not rerun because of what happened.
Awesome.
Back to that sponsor.
I wanted to talk about the sponsor, Wellspring Collective. It's a medicinal marijuana company out of Colorado. Is that correct? I'm not 100% aware of it.
Yes, that is them, and they're doing wonderful things just all over the place. And you know, it's like, well, we don't try to get too serious. But one of the reasons I point people to Wayne Kramer, and I wish they would listen more, is in case you don't know who Wayne Kramer is, he was one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time, still is. But he played in a band called MC5, which is, there's not a lot of clips of them, but if you go online and see a clip of them playing live, you'll see why everyone said they were the greatest live act of that period. And Wayne is just incredible. But Wayne ended up during the 70s, they had done some political things, and they were doing some things that, you know, a society frowns on, which is, a couple of them were dealing in drugs, and he got put in federal prison. And now he has a wonderful group called Jail Guitar Doors. What they do is they bring musical instruments into prisons, and they also play shows there. He just done some great stuff with, like, Jackson Browne and trying to remember. I mean, just, you know, a who's who of people. But
that's awesome.
But to hear, but Chris, in case people don't know the whole story, the Meat Puppets rose to new heights in the mid 90s with the alternative thing. They had the song Backwater. Their albums sold, like, you know, in the hundreds of thousands, and they were getting gold records. They were on a great tour with Stone Temple Pilots, where they were almost co-headliners, and things were, you know, on that way up. And Chris, you know, he had some problems with drugs, and then he ended up with a couple of stints in state prison, and then finally, and the most bizarre of all things, he got shot in the back by a postal guard, which is a federal employee. And yes, I said that right. He got shot in the back. They had an altercation. He was walking away, and the guy shot him, and he went to federal prison. So.
That's crazy.
It's a really unfair thing, and it's all around the drug war and all these things that, you know, it's funny because, you know, Obama is, like, you know, pardoning all these people, but he hasn't come out against the drug war yet because he's a politician. But everybody knows the deal. We are, you know, anyway, so the thing is to hear two people talk about these things who have both been in federal prison. And one of the things that was interesting was Wayne was saying if he had been arrested in the 80s instead of the 70s, he'd still be in prison.
Reaganomics type stuff, yeah.
Well, all that stuff during the 80s, and they put in all the mandatory things. Reagan was certainly at the forefront of it, but the Democratic Party was in charge of Congress, and they were busy beavers.
as
installing
well.
Just draconian laws, most of which have been used against people of color. But then, you know, in the 90s, a lot of stuff happened about, you know, turning our prisons over to private entities. And where Chris stayed was a privately run prison. So, I mean, these are issues.
Is that what you want
right
when you
now.
Go to a when you go to a federal prison? Do you want a privately run one, or do you want the government run one? I'm not sure.
I don't know, but the thing is, we shouldn't be locking up people for nonviolent crimes. And
it's crazy that it's happened within our lifetimes. This wasn't 1930s in Mississippi. This is something that happened in 1994.
This is something we did. well, California just finally got rid of three strikes, and that was completely on the back of the Polyclos disappearance. And Polyclos's father, who, you know, was at the forefront of it, a very good looking man and friends with Winona Ryder. And they did all these ads and they ran through these draconian laws. And like, he was like at the forefront of the, let's get rid of these laws. Cause he realized like, you know, what a horrible, you know, he was a grieving father and he was used, but you know, it's just like, they were just really stupid laws, and they happened in the 90s here in California.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And, you know, but it's like anything else. Like, nobody remembers that.
Sure, I think it's a big time.
Well,
it's a time suck. It's a money suck. It's just, let's get on with the business of running this country, stop locking up nonviolent offenders. And, yeah, I think that's a great sponsor for the show. It would be totally unnatural to have him reading about anything else like the Fleshlight or something like that, and like
we might be doing that, believe me. But
nice.
No, I mean, you know, it's funny because Mark Maron, who, you know, anybody that's in podcasting has to like not just look up to Mark Maron, but also like give him a shout out, because I mean, this is a guy who pretty much, you know, helped invent the genre, which is changing the face of radio and everything else right now. God bless him. He lives in the neighborhood here. And he was initially, like somebody was explaining to me, it's like he was initially sponsored a lot by Adam and Eve, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, I know Americans are scared of sexuality, but there's nothing wrong with Adam and Eve and making your marriage better. So, you know, if they come to us, Adam and Eve, if you're out there.
Nice. Yeah, I just don't like it when I go and I Google my show and I find it on some weird podcast site and then there's an Adam and Eve commercial before my show and I'm not getting a cent from it. So you guys got to watch out for that once you hit.
I'm still trying to figure out some of this stuff, and that is the one problem with podcasting. It's a bit of the Wild West, and you put it out there on SoundCloud and iTunes, and the next thing you know, there's like,
sure,
you know, Pod Bay in Moscow. You know, I'm like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
it's a new frontier. You got it. We're just like completely in the beginning stages of it, and I think it's a great thing that Chris is, you know, totally into the idea and the format. And yeah, I think that's about a good place to wrap up. They can find it just by in Chris Kirkwood Pod, and obviously iTunes. Subscribe, right?
Yes, yes. So let me just real quickly. So these are all in the can. We have coming up. This week we have Denny Tedesco, who is a filmmaker who did a wonderful movie called The Wrecking Crew, and we have a great conversation about this amazing band of studio musicians who made great things. The following week we have this woman, Gabby Moreno, who is just huge in South America and just a lovely young woman. You know, and these are names that you might not know, but they're going to be great. And then we're going to go full bore. After that, we're just completely whoring out with just nothing but big people. We already have Tenacious D in the can, and we have Feelers out to Kim Kardashian. And I was someplace the other day and ran into, unbelievably, probably the biggest celebrity sighting I've ever had. Kanye West was standing in this restaurant where my girlfriend and I were, and believe it or not, he scowls in public.
He scowls,
like
nice.
The thing. So kids, when your parents told you, don't scowl like that, your face will get stuck. I think Kanye is evidence of what happens if you scowl your whole life. It will get stuck. Yes.
I love it.
But Kanye, we'd love to have you on the show, scowl or not.
Of course. I love that. That's awesome. So, yeah, on Twitter, Kirkwood Pod, right? And obviously Facebook.
Kirkwood Pod on Twitter. Yep. Facebook is the Chris Kirkwood Podcast. SoundCloud, the Chris Kirkwood Podcast. Remember, no H.
No H.
Some people get that. C-R-I-S and iTunes and wherever else you can find us. And we're just, you know, and thank you, because Andy has been a wonderful,
nice.
you know, a supporter of the show. And we're out there and would like to make sure we support you as well.
That's really awesome. Yeah, we definitely highly recommend the Chris Kirkwood podcast. You couldn't have been a better guest for my 150th. Any last words, Bill?
No, I think that's it, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
All right, on behalf of Bill Cody, this is Andy signing off for the Andy Derer Show. Be sure to follow Andy on Twitter, that's at Andy Derer, and like our show on Facebook, that's facebook.com/TheAndyDerer Show. Videos at youtube.com/AndrewMartinDerer, and we're on iTunes, just search The Andy Derer Show, and please leave a review. Thanks so much to our wonderful sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue, Record Utopia, The Bandgrate, and Amazon.com. Theme song courtesy of Rich Banks Music. Thank you so much for checking out The Andy Derer Show. TheAndyDerer Show.com.